You probably know this, but Israel is a very dry, arid environment. I know a few of you may have been to Israel before. And most of the year, throughout most of the country, there's very little rain, although it's situated on the coast, which in many places, that means that you get rain coming off of the body of water, in this case, the Mediterranean. It's not so with Israel for the most part. Most of the stream beds are dry throughout the year. And stories surrounding water are very prominent throughout Israel's history, both sacred and secular history. One of their, you might call it, formative experiences, and Jordan referenced it this morning from the table, was the 40 years in the wilderness, which followed right after the 10th plague of the death of the firstborn. Israel left Egypt. And in Exodus 17, we read about the people were so dry and thirsty, and they were complaining so bitterly that Moses prayed to the Lord, and he provided water out of a rock. In fact, that's an event that's celebrated in the Feast of Tabernacles, in some places even to today. Generations before that, the patriarch Jacob dug a well, which is still present today. It's in the West Bank. It's in the city of Nablus. Dug that well because they needed water. There was no surface water in that place. Generations after the Israelite exodus, Jesus teaches, and we see it recorded in Mark chapter 9, He reminded his people how blessed it is to give even a cup of water to the thirsty. Psalm 42 that we had read in our presence this morning talks about thirst. But it's not physical thirst that the psalmist is talking about here. It's a deeper thirst. A dryness of soul. A withering thirst of our very being. Look what the psalmist says here in Psalm 42. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" This man, this psalmist, is thirsting for God. Why? Why? I think we take for granted the fact that in the Old Testament, the only place that people could meet with God was in the temple at Jerusalem. He was in the most holy place. He wasn't everywhere. His Holy Spirit did not present itself to us today. We did not have God walking amongst us. And in this very room as we do today, that was not the case in Old Testament times. So the problem here was that the psalmist was nowhere near Jerusalem. Something has happened. We don't know exactly what has caused the psalmist to be away from Jerusalem, but he's very aware that he's a long way from God's presence. He knew that he was dry on the inside. My question for you today is, how do you know when you are dry on the inside? Apparently, when you're physically dying of thirst, you lose your ability to taste. Your tongue swells. You become disoriented. You have a terrible headache. You lose strength. It's said that you can go weeks without food, but only days without water. But what about spiritual thirst? Sometimes it seems that we wind up in a spiritual wilderness. We, like the children of Israel, are wandering around and wondering, how did we get here? Spiritually, we're dehydrated. And God seems so far away. And like the psalmist, when shall I come and appear before God? Perhaps we don't ask that question. We want our thirst quenched, but we don't know where to get the water. Or it seems as though. There's therefore no taste for God. No sense of His presence. Our faith seems weak. There's no desire to read, no heart for prayer. And the things of God seem so foreign and distant and not useful. Seems foreign. Our soul feels dry and withered. Our faith, our love for Jesus, our love for our brothers and sisters, our desire to praise, our love for the church, all seem to have evaporated in the dry heat of the harsh realities of life. You know, the interesting things about spiritual thirst is that it tends to come when the conditions are tough, when they're, you might say, adverse to us. Troubles, trials, pressures, stress, tension. Spiritual dryness can creep in. Dryness of soul can invade so slowly. It's not a switch that turns on and off. It happens slowly. Until suddenly you realize, I'm so thirsty inside. How does this happen? How does this happen? Well, part of the problem is that our lives are so busy. Schedules are chock full. Work demands are high. Spouse is doing this. Kids are doing that. We're bombarded by stimuli like email, the internet, iPhones, iPads, and who knows what else. And you know, we don't sense the dryness of our soul moment by moment, day by day. We're so busy with life's demands that we don't even notice how thirsty we are. You ever gone through the day, you have that glass of water or that bottle of water on your desk, and you look up and you say, I haven't touched that. I've been so busy. I think we have to think carefully about the lifestyle that we lead. The sheer busyness that we accept. And ask if, is this the best way to lead ourselves and our families to spiritual health? Is this course of action that I'm taking right now, where I live, where I work, what I'm involved in, what my kids are involved in, what I allow myself to say yes to at work, at school, at home, in the community? Are these the things that are going to lead me to spiritual health along with my family? I have to answer that question for myself. And in case you were wondering, yeah, this is for me. Psalm 42 speaks to me. Because I said, me, thirsty? Me? When was the last time that you took stock of your heart? And in light of the funeral that I attended for a seemingly healthy 62-and-a-half-year-old man who was a fifth-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu and taekwondo who died of a heart attack, I have to take stock of my own physical heart, but more importantly, my spiritual heart. When have you listened to your soul? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty inside? Has your taste for God become dull? Are you jaded with worship? But it really doesn't matter. That it's, you can take it or leave it. Is your spiritual life dull and gray? Do you have a spiritual headache? Are you wondering where the sweetness of mercy and grace and love have even gone? In the second verse there, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He goes on and says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? The psalmist's tears are mocking him. Are your tears mocking you? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, as the song that we just sang. Deep within me, I pour out my soul. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Notice the psalmist says, I used to do these things. I used to be involved. I used to take joy in these things. And apparently, he no longer does. Sometimes these kinds of feelings that the psalmist is describing come out of a disobedience to God. You know, if you listen to medical advice, they say you need to drink water. You need to drink so many ounces of water. And varying studies say this or that. But basically, you drink water. But you know within you, you've got to do it. Now, some of you say, well, there's water in coffee. Okay, fair. It's not exactly what they have in mind. But there's a thirst within you that the base of your brain says, I need water. But the thinking part of your brain may say, nah, I'm okay. There's water that I can get other places. Or you may just refuse. I'm not going to do it. You see, that kind of thirst would not be surprising. But sometimes we wind up in the wilderness, and we don't know how we got there. I believe that God allows us to get thirsty. Perhaps it's at those times that he's changing things to alert us to something, that we haven't been trusting him as we should. Might that be part of our thirst? I think it's worth considering. Maybe God is allowing us to feel that emptiness, that sense of thirst, so that we realize that we can't put our hope in people, things, experience, education, work, money, even our family. Because all of those things can and will go away. Only when we are with God, when we trust God alone, the living God, will our thirst be quenched with this living water that we read about and we sing about, we talk about. But when we are satisfying our thirst with things other than God, it's said that we are filling a God-sized hole with other things than God. We're satisfying a thirst with something that simply makes us not thirsty at the moment, but doesn't actually quench what our soul needs. So how do we do this? The psalmist knew that the more he pulled away from God, that his deep thirst would only get worse. He knew that his thirst would not be quenched unless he was at in the presence of God. Even if he didn't know how God would help him, even if he didn't know all of the answers, or he couldn't resolve his problems, he knew that it was good to be near God. I don't have all the answers. As an individual, as a man, as an elder, I don't have all the answers. We don't have all of the answers in this room. Although there are some, I would submit, some biblical scholars in the room. We don't have all the answers. But what we do have is a desire to point you to Jesus Christ, to point you to that source of living water. There are deep pains in this room. And we pour out our soul as the psalmist. But also as the psalmist, look in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, for the help of being in his presence. That's what this worship time in part is designed to do. It's not filling a requirement. It's not checking a box. It is the opportunity for us to be near one another as we are together near God. Deep within me, I pour out my soul. You know, centuries later, after this psalm was written, at Jacob's well, we read about in John chapter 4, a woman came along and she was thirsty. She came along during the heat of the day, not the normal time for people to come to that well, but she came there to get physical water. She met Jesus there. She was thirsty for water, but she was more thirsty for God. But like most, she didn't know it. She didn't know what she was thirsty for, but she knew there was something that was missing. Does that describe you? Not sure exactly what you are thirsty for, but there's got to be something more than what I'm doing right now. She wanted water from the well, but Jesus said what she really needed was living water. Water that was like life itself. Life which, like water, would become part of her and enliven her. When we take in water, it literally becomes part of our body, within the cells of our body. Jesus said that he would give her this life freely, abundantly. And not only would her inner thirst be quenched, but his grace, his life, his love would overflow from her into others powerfully, satisfyingly, and eternally. He was going to pour that water into her so that she could be a blessing to others. Are you so dry that you don't have anything left for others? Jesus would say, you need living water. So are you dried out? Are you thirsty? Jesus is calling you to drink deep. You don't have to go to some temple like the psalmist. You don't have to go to Jacob's well like this woman from Samaria. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to us. And he has come full of grace and full of truth, we read about in John. His death on the cross and his rising again is the cure for your inner thirst. Amen. Through His death, Jesus forgives all your wrongs, cleanses all your sins. He's borne all your guilt. He's taken on your punishment. His death and rising has conquered your inner darkness so completely, so powerfully, that this living water will be in you and you'll never be the same. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I don't know if the woman at the Samaritan woman who was at Jacob's well was present. This happens three chapters after, but I don't know if she was there or not. But if she were, she might have said, "I understand that. I get that." Can you say that you understand this? That you understand that because I believe in Him, out of my heart flows rivers of living water. Jesus is your water of life. Don't push back. Don't walk away. You have to drink. Step up and drink deeply. Don't walk away from this opportunity. A few things I want us to think about in terms of how to drink deeply this water of life. The first, I think, is for us all to acknowledge our thirst. Let's pray. Lord, we are often so thirsty, and we don't know how we got here. But some of us here are so dry that we are asking you to pour your water of life into us. Jesus, we trust you, and we know that you can do this. We know that our failing to acknowledge our sin and our need has caused this thirst. We don't deserve this grace, but we know that your water of life is what we need. Please, dear Jesus, pour out your soul to us. Pour out your rivers of water to us and quench the thirst of our soul. We believe in the power of your word. We believe in the power of your grace. And we believe that you have the ability to fill us again. For all of these things, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acknowledge. That's an example prayer, not the only. We have to drink. That is, we have to accept and believe in Jesus and obey the gospel. Now, if you've already done this, if you've been obedient to Jesus through baptism, awesome. Then what I would say is do it again, not in terms of baptism, but affirm that belief. Jesus, I believe in you. I believed once enough to commit myself to baptism. Do you believe it now? Or has something changed? You can say, I believe in your water. I believe in that life. I believe in that living water. Pour out your water into me. Break my spiritual drought. Soften me up. Soften my heart. We need to follow the psalmist's example. And despite his thirst, despite his agony and the taunting of his tears and the taunting of his foes that we read about later in verse 10, he still said, I will yet trust you. I put my hope in you, my Savior and my God. So you can say, don't let me trust in your things. Don't let me trust in your people. No matter how good. Lord, I need you. Because things change. The place where we found comfort and refuge in the past can change. The people that we found comfort and rest in can and will change. Systems that we have come to depend on change. God does not. Lord, I need you. You in me, you one with me, like water in my body. I trust you, your life, your grace, your forgiveness, your faithfulness, now and forever. Do you trust? Are you trusting in something that is temporary? Reconnect. Don't wait to feel great to start praying. Don't wait to feel healthy to get into worship with God's people. Don't wait to feel better to read your Bible. Think about it. How will God speak to you and to pour into your life if you're not listening? The answer is He will not. He will not grab you by the collar and force water down your gullet. It won't happen. And even if someone were to take you and force you to listen to His word, it won't work. You see, if you're dehydrated, you don't wait until you're no longer thirsty to drink, right? That doesn't make sense. Our human brains and bodies understand that when you're truly, truly thirsty, that's all you think about. And you're going to find something to drink. But many of us will say, no, I'm too damaged. I need to stay away. I don't need that. I just need to get myself back in order. I need to get unthirsty before I can drink the living water. Not what the psalmist understood, and not what we truly understand at our base level. But then we begin to think, and we begin to direct our own steps. And Solomon said, it's not within man to direct his own steps. But we ignore that because we're so stinking smart. We're so educated. We are so advanced. We have so many resources at our fingertips, from information to money to relationships. We have so much at our fingertips that we have so much water in front of us, but the unwillingness to drink it. So start drinking before you feel better. Because our feelings are very fickle things. Our feelings can go back and forth from instant to instant. We can literally be happy and sad at the same time. If we start feeling better before we start drinking in this living water, we're going to stay dry. So if you're spiritually dry, turn around, repent, reconnect with God. Don't wait until you feel spiritually healthy. do it now. There's a wonderful section in the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know exactly who wrote the letter to the Hebrew brethren, but we know that the people that were addressed in this book were going soft on their faith. They were having a crisis of faith, you might say. They were in danger of giving up. They were thirsty, but didn't know it. So I want you to look at the advice they received. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The confidence to reconnect is grounded squarely in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. It's not dependent upon you and your level of faith and your level of Bible knowledge and your number of attendance each week. It's not based on anything except Jesus Christ, which is why we point you to Jesus Christ today. He is our high priest. He opened the way. He cleansed us and purified us. And because of Him, we can hold on to this hope, because what He promised, He is faithful to complete. Are you thirsty? Acknowledge that thirst. Drink. Trust in Him. And reconnect. God wants you deep in His living water. Come to Him, drink deep, and let Him pour His living water into your life. If we can help you this morning, please come and have a seat on the front bench as we sing.